Today we'll be continuing on with the topic of the cosmic system, which is an important subject to understand, and a very big subject, because at the moment we're looking at the angelic infiltration. And we see how that in Genesis 6 verse 5, it's talking about how there was so much evil in the world that God had to destroy the world with a flood. But at the same time, we also read that Jesus was saying in Luke 17 that coming up to the time of the flood in the days of Noah, the people were marrying and drinking and eating and doing normal activities. And what that should do is encourage you to ask, well, what is evil? Because if this evil that was going on in the time of the days of Noah was so bad, there has to be a flood. But Jesus was saying that people were doing normal things, then you know, really that's the focus here. We have to look at what is this evil. And remember how we see that there's a comparison, or there's like a similar line of events happening in the time of Noah and then in the time of Lot as well. And then Jesus mentions about at the return of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes to set up the kingdom, it's the same thing. There's going to be people getting married and eating and drinking, and then the Son of Man will come. And you see, all of these situations is relating to this normal society before massive judgment. Now, when I say it looks like normal society, you know, from the surface, on the outward appearances, it looks normal. But as Genesis 6:5 says, the evil was happening here in the soul. Okay, and of course, it's going to manifest as certain activities, but those activities can actually look normal if you've been deceived into thinking they're normal when they're not. Okay, so that's sort of going to be the subject of today, which we'll get into right after our initial rebound and opening prayer. Okay. Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the time and the opportunity that we have to study your word, to understand your great plan, which you've revealed to us, and even to reveal the plan of Satan, which has been designed by Satan to deceive those in the world. And so we give thanks for this opportunity in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go back to the slide presentation, the PPT slideshow. This is slide number 11 on the PPT, which I sent out to you. Okay, and this is continuing on from what we did in the last couple of weeks. Actually, I'll just skip back a couple of slides so you can see very quickly for yourselves some of the areas of evil that we've looked at. And we had moral degeneracy and immoral degeneracy. And these things are like opposite extremes, but they're both outside of the plan of God. Okay, we also looked at different superstitious beliefs and practices, and that included fortune telling, people that go off to these so-called specialists, I guess, these like witch doctors or monks or something like that, where they think they can tell your future. We don't need to know the future except what God reveals to us in Scripture. It's a very dangerous thing. If you knew exactly what your future was going to be, your whole focus would be on trying to attain that, what would you call it, like that fate. Whereas your whole purpose in life is to make decisions based on what happens on a day-to-day basis. And also we have false religions and value systems. We looked at that too. We talk about false religion. Actually, any religion outside of Christianity is false. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one can go to the Father, meaning no one can get to heaven except by me. And in the book of Acts chapter 4, it says there's no other name been given under heaven by which we can be saved. No other name. So there's no other name, no other person, no other means to get to heaven except by Jesus Christ. Okay. And if you look at the beginnings of every other major religion, you'll always see that there's some kind of angelic appearance or there's some kind of a supernatural happening. In every other religion, every other major religion, there's all of these we call supernatural appearances and angelic appearances. And a good example is the Islamic religion, who in their book, the Quran, it talks about this angel Gabriel coming down to Muhammad and telling Muhammad that God has a new plan. And this happened about 600 AD. That's about 500 years after Jesus Christ appeared to John and finished off the New Testament. In the last chapter of Revelation, in the last few verses, John was giving the warning, if anybody adds to these words, they will be cursed. If anyone puts any more words into this book, if they put anything else onto these words of the Bible about God's revelation, then this person is cursed. What he was saying was this book of Revelation and this chapter that we're now writing, as he was talking to John, this is the last of God's written revelation. There's no more Bible. This is it. There's nothing more to be added. Now, we had the Old Testament, which revealed the prophecies about the coming of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom. And then we have the New Testament, which talks about the coming of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and resurrection. Yeah. And then his ascension to heaven. And Jesus said, I will come back to set up the new kingdom. He said, we'll be here for 1,000 years and then that's the finish of human history. That's it. Now this covers all of God's plan for the rest of eternity. But then 500 years later, after John finished the book of Revelation, now you have this angel saying, I came from God and now God's changed his mind. We have a new plan. This is written in the Quran. Yeah, and these people in the Quran, they believe that. Is it no surprise that within the Muslim religion, within that same book, it says you cannot go and read other books anymore. Do not read the Bible. Allah does not like you reading the Bible. If you get caught, even not even as a missionary, but just as a Christian, if you get caught with a Bible in Saudi Arabia, you can get put in prison for having a Bible. Now, this is just another example of evil in the world introduced by Satan. Okay, but if you look at any major religion, there's going to be an angelic appearance. But these angels, they're not coming from God. Now, these are angels that are working, they're fallen angels working for Satan. So that's just one more category of evil. But again, you know, religion looks very nice and shiny. Most religions teach people to be good and to be nice to each other. And again, if we presented what I'm just talking to you now about Islam, for example, if that was made known to public, that Christians are calling Islam an evil religion, then they will look at us and they will say, oh, you're being very narrow-minded. Don't you think that God loves all the people? And, you know, that everybody has their free will. They can think what they want. There's nothing wrong with that. So this is why you have to be very careful. You have this information now. You have to be careful about who you present the information to. And you have to be careful about the way you present it. You know, I have actually talked with Muslims about the beginning of the Islamic religion. And if you can get the right person at the right time, then you can have a bit of a conversation with them. Okay, but again, yeah, you have to do it with an attitude of humility. And remember that God loves that person, even though they're heavily involved in evil. But God loves them and God wants them to be saved. Yeah, and you never argue with people about their beliefs. All you can do is present the gospel if you have a chance, and if they reject it, then all you can do is walk away. So you never get involved in arguments. And even if it gets to the extent where they get so angry with you, maybe you tried to walk away, but then they catch you and then they cut your head off. Well, you can't get angry with them. It happens. Christians getting beheaded, but you can't get angry with these people. Yeah, and it does happen all the time. And like in the south of the Philippines or in India, there's a lot of cases of this happening. In African nations, there's Christians being killed all the time because of their belief. In Taiwan or in China or in Thailand, it's very safe usually. We don't hear about these kind of things and we have a lot of freedom to move around perhaps, from freedom from being having our heads cut off by Muslims. Yeah, but these things happen all the time. We talked about the evil of the New Age religions as well. Okay, and there's a lot of that happening where people are sort of what we call syncretizing. Syncretize means to bring together a mix of religions and then proclaim them that you know, this is the way to find enlightenment. You can become like God by learning from many religions. Making you become like God, you can become holy, but denying the true message of the gospel. For example, this man here, he says the resurrection of the Christ within you. So talking about Jesus Christ can be made in you. And really what he's doing is denying the true plan of Jesus Christ. But remember that these people that are teaching us, whatever religion or you know, whatever philosophies they have, they're very sincere about these things. They're not trying to deceive you. They're just trying to make you look at another way of doing things. Now, some other forms of evil we have in the world, liberalism, and all of these things will contradict the plan of God or the principles of the Bible. And the first one I have as an example here is feminism. This is giving, we say, equality to woman over the man. And it sounds very good as well. You know, woman and men are created equal, right? Well, are we really created equal? Is anybody created equal? Remember this whole idea of equality, and this is something else that I didn't really put it as a subcategory, but the idea of equality does not exist. God never said in anywhere in the Bible that he's created us equal. When you were born into this world, we were born from a different social status. Some were born into poor families, some were born into rich families. Some were born into families that had a lot of influence in society, and some had no influence at all. Some people were born with good genes, very strong bodies, and others have weak genes, maybe even physical disabilities. And some people were born into countries where there's a lot of freedom and a lot of prosperity, and other people are born into nations where there's a lot of evil. And then even in heaven, you know, the angels weren't created equal either. We see that Lucifer, by way of example, he was created with this beautiful voice box, this beautiful voice and great intelligence, and given this very high position. And when we get to heaven, even in our new bodies, in our resurrection bodies, when we all get to heaven, there's no equality in heaven either. At the Bema throne judgment, some people are going to be rewarded with great rewards and awards, and other people will get nothing. The Bema judgment. Bema. Now, that's the evaluation throne of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So your eternal future in heaven, you're going to be different from your friends and from the people that you knew. Everybody's going to be different. Really, if you look at people being equal, we all have an equal opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. But even in every country, some countries make it more difficult for you to find, to look for the gospel. But God will reveal himself to everybody that seeks truth. And everybody that believes in Jesus Christ, remember, you just make that one decision, and then for the church age, God will give you 40 things. So you're equal in that regard as well. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're male or female, whether you're young or old, black or white, it doesn't matter. God will give you those 40 things. Okay, so that's really the only equality that you'll find in God's plan. But apart from that, you know, we have our volition, and everybody has this free will to choose to seek God and to live by his plan or not. We all have this free will, and we can all choose to seek God and his plan. But we're all born under different circumstances. And for example, 50% or about 50% of the population are born female, and 50% are born male. But whether you're male or female isn't going to affect whether you're going to be happy in life or not. You know, there's a lot of very miserable men, and there's a lot of very miserable females. But God did establish from the beginning, he said, when a man and woman get married, the man has the authority over the woman. He has the authority in the marriage. Every organization needs authority. If you don't have somebody who has the ultimate authority to make decisions, then you're open to just this constant process of never solving problems. Somebody has to be responsible. Can you imagine an army where there's no generals in the army, and everybody's just at the same level? We're all equal, just as soldiers. And so who's going to give the orders, right? Or you have a company where all of the workers are all equal. There's no boss, right? So all the workers are expected to come to work and do what's right. And just be a complete disaster. And marriage is the same. When women try to get the authority from the man and say, well, I can make decisions too, that's the first step in causing a breakdown in marriage. Now, there's no law in the Bible that says that women can't be the leaders in a company, for example, or even in a government. But in a marriage, the man has that right. But starting from about the 1950s and 60s, the feminist movement started to take off. It started to gain momentum where women are thinking, why does my husband have to be the boss? Why does he have to tell me to do everything? And since then, the divorce rates in marriage have just gone up exponentially. Okay, so there is a close relationship between feminism and breakdown in marriage. Okay, but of course, that's part of Satan's plan to break down society. Okay, so atheism is the rejection of the existence of God. Now, it's fueled, and here say fueled means sort of promoted, by pseudosciences such as Big Bang Theory and evolution. One argument they use is they say, well, science has proven that the universe is very, very old, and they have many ways to prove that the universe and the Earth is actually millions and billions of years old. They say, well, science says that the universe is very old, but the Bible, it looks like the earth was created and it was made in 6 days, and the earth is only a few thousand years old. The scientists could say, well, look, we have very clear evidence. The universe is very old, but the Bible says the universe is very young. So therefore, the Bible is wrong. That's their argument, and it's a good argument. So who's right and who's wrong? The thing is, the scientists are wrong, and the Bible is wrong. When I say the Bible is wrong, it means in the translations that they've done of Genesis chapter 1, they've given a very bad translation, which makes it look like the universe is very young. A big problem is when they translate between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2. They translate it so it doesn't look like there's a gap, but actually there's a big, big gap between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2. It's all because of a simple word. I'll just show you very quickly. I wasn't going to spend too much time on this topic, but I will recommend you to a book very shortly. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And that's fine. It follows the Hebrew very well. Okay, the problem is when you get on to the next verse. Okay, and it says here, "And the earth was without form." And what they've done wrong here is there's one word, it's a very simple word, I just draw it on the board here. This is a vav in the Hebrew, and this is the word they usually translate as "and." So the letter has vav, and with the vowel, really it's like ve, which means "and" or "but." So this word in Hebrew, it's a very simple conjunction. It can mean "and," or it can mean "but." They translate it as "and," but they should translate it as "but," because it's showing something happened.
No.
Because when you go into Genesis 1, 2, and if you said, "but the earth," and then you have this word "was," haya, it should be "became." Okay, so let me screen share. Okay, so now we're going to look at this. See, here the word "and," or you've got the word. So you say, God created the world and the heavens and the earth, but, and then we have, "but the earth became without form." See, now we have another Hebrew word here. See, in the Hebrew, if you can look on that, in the Hebrew down here, it says, "Veha'aretz," which means "and the earth," and then you have the word "haya." Here they say "was," but actually it became, it changed. But the earth changed to become without form. And you can see it here. I brought up the yellow box. You should be able to see that. And one of the first words, it says to exist, that is be or become. Oh, can you circle the word "become"? Okay, be or become. Okay, so what happened was the world changed. See, before it was perfect. For millions and millions of years it was perfect, and then it changed. There's a book by the Colonel, and it's called Creation, Chaos, and Restoration. And this explains how the world was created perfect, and then it became a big ice pack, basically. Well, because we had the ice age, and so the world was put into an ice pack. Big ice block. Okay, so if you look at Genesis 1, 2, see, what we need to translate in verse 2, "but the earth became without form and became empty." See, already you should be able to see that something major took place. Okay, and then it says, "and darkness was on the face of the deep." And the word there, deep, tahom, is like deep water. This is the ice pack. And then the Spirit of God moved, just to give you another example. Okay, you have the word "move," but actually "move" is like, they use the word rapak. I can show you this in the Hebrew. It's like a mother hen looking over to warm up the eggs. Okay, so here we have, "and darkness was upon the face of the deep." To home, see, an abyss as water. When there was darkness upon the face of the deep. Now what happened? God had removed all heat from the universe. When there's no heat in the universe, it drops down to minus 212 degrees Celsius, right? That's absolute zero. The water, it says water, but the water was ice. There's no heat. If you have water without heat, it's ice. See, there was no light in the universe. Darkness was on the face of the deep. So
what's...
Well, when there's no heat, everything goes cold. God took all the light. He stopped all the light in the universe. So if God takes out all the light, it becomes cold. See, now you have the word rachpa. See, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, now he's going to start to warm things up. It's a process, right? First you have the universe is created perfect, and then there's going to be a judgment. Because Satan is rebelling. This comes in other verses, so we don't have the whole story here. And see, the scientists, they've said that there was an ice age, right? Well, actually, there was a big ice age, and the Bible supports this. It's very confusing. So what I want to do, there's just one more word here we should look at, and this is lachaf. Now, there's other verses in the Bible using the same word, and it talks about the mother, and she's sitting on the eggs and keeping the eggs warm. Okay, so what we do, we have this world in an ice pack, there's an ice age, and then the Holy Spirit comes in to warm things up. Okay, and that's the beginning of the restoration of the earth. And then see, God says, let there be light, and there was light. So now the whole solar system and the universe is back in action again. Okay, so yeah, the universe is actually very old. If you want to understand more about this subject or this doctrine, then you can look at this book called Creation, Chaos, and Restoration. There's a whole lot of verses there, not just from Genesis, but from other parts of the Bible, where you see that when you put the story together, you realize that the universe was very old and that the Bible needs to be translated correctly. Now, one place the scientists get it wrong, obviously, they say we came from a Big Bang. If this was true, the universe would continue to be expanding from a particular point. Because there'd be one point and then everything goes out and the universe would just have to keep going bigger. In space, there's no friction. So once something starts moving, it just keeps moving. It's never going to stop. In space, there's no friction. So once something starts to move, it just keeps moving. There's no gravity to stop it. There's no forces to stop anything that's moving. The fact is that we look up at the stars in the universe and they're in exactly the same position they've been for thousands of years. You know, these star maps that people have done from thousands of years ago, they still work today. Everything's in the same place. And you know, the world has always been going around the sun at, what is it, 365 and a quarter days a year. It's been doing that for the last 10,000 years. But atheists are always looking for an excuse not to believe the Bible. It's not because they can't believe. If they really sought for the truth, they would find it. But it's because they don't want to believe. They rejected God. Okay. So that's a bit enough for atheism. And I talked a little bit about activism. That's where people are trying to change society. People are always trying to campaign against the government to change laws and societal behavior. And they often use manipulation, deceit, and violence to promote their personal agenda. Okay, just for one example, there's an animal rights organization called PETA, P-E-T-A. I think it's like protection for something against the treatment of animals. And these people resort to violence to try to protect animals. Imagine if you're in a restaurant and you're just sitting down to a nice dinner and you've ordered a nice dinner with your wife and family, and all of a sudden people come in and then they start abusing you because you're eating steak. In some cases, and this has really happened, they get a bucket of blood and they throw it over these people that are eating their dinner. This is what's happening in society more and more now. They're resorting to violence to try to get their way. Anyways, I'll give you the example we have of green movements. We call them greenies, people that want to protect the environment. Okay, now we should look after the environment and we have to live in it. So it's just like your house. You try to keep a tidy house and we should try to keep the earth clean. Okay, but we have to keep this in a balance because remember that God gave us the privilege of using the earth and the earth's resources to be able to live and to be able to be prosperous even. You know, the earth is to provide all of our physical needs. All the food and all the products that we need, obviously we can get them out of the earth. But again, we have to remember that we have to live on this planet, so we need to do it properly. Now, you have these groups here. Now, we're getting into a sort of more activist groups. We have examples of activists where you have people joining up with groups like Greenpeace and the UN Environment Program and World Wildlife Fund. These groups have become more and more powerful in the last two or three decades. And what they often use is emotionalism and fear to change people's thinking. Now, don't forget, you know, we're looking at this under the context of evil and Satan's strategy to control the world. This whole subject is relating to evil and how Satan uses strategy to try to control the world. He wants that power. And as part of his plan to be the ruler of the world, and he already is the ruler of the world, but he really doesn't have that power that he wants. And part of the plan is to break down the national borders to create what we call globalization. So with globalist organizations like Greenpeace, World Wildlife Fund, and the UN Environment, and many, many other organizations, that's breaking down the borders because they don't work under the concept of nations. WHO, exactly. Now, these globalist organizations come into many activities. For example, you have economic activities. You might have like pacifist activities. You have activities for saving the children. Most of them are under the UN, actually. Okay, and then you have in the political arena, you have nations coming together like the EU, there's a good example, ASEAN for Asian nations, you know, where they're breaking down those political boundaries as well. And that's bringing the world closer to this one world government. Okay, but what we're looking here on this page, we see Greenpeace and World Wildlife Fund and the UN Environment Program. So these are globalist organizations relating just specifically to the environment. But remember, again, these are organizations which will help Satan promote his one world organization. Now, the people involved in these organizations, they're very sincere about their mission. We're saving the world. And that's a very noble cause, right? But they use fear and they use emotionalism to try to get people to join them. Now, you should be very familiar with this girl. She was big in the news last year. Her name is Greta Thunberg from Sweden. She's been used as a pawn, as a small player. She's been used like a puppet. She's been controlled, or we say manipulated, maybe, first by her parents, but then by a lot of other organizations. And, you know, she grew up hearing these things from her parents, so she's grown up in an activist family. And then at some stage that she's been promoted in the devil's world to become this voice of global warming. Yeah, and she has a big exposure in the world. She is a professional activist. Okay, and she's probably, we're talking about addictions. I mean, she's probably quite addicted to being up in front of crowds and speaking. There's a big adrenaline rush for her. And we see from these pictures, this is the sort of the face or her image that's presented to the world. We're on slide 14, by the way. In the top left corner, you have the working hard activist, Greta, the hard working activist. And then in the top right corner, here is the picture of her, probably before a big government.
Forum.
Yeah, a big forum. And that's, how dare you? You're not even thinking about the children, sort of thing. This little child. And she was telling the world leaders, President Trump and Putin and Xi Jinping and all these people, like, you have to change. Other children say, oh, she's my hero. I want to be just like her. And then we have the picture of the very thoughtful Greta. You know, she's thinking about her future and the future of the world. And then on the right corner, you have the very cute Greta. You know, we have to feel sorry for her and her future and things like this. They have to have the cute picture as well, right? She's this really cute girl and she's doing great things. And then you have this picture here. It's like the evil Greta. It's just a joke. But, you know, really, she's very sincere about what she's doing. She needs to know the truth. She needs to hear the gospel. So I'll just bring up the slideshow again. We're working our way slowly through these. Okay, so we had feminism and... Yeah, again, feminism is where women are trying to supersede or go above their position in society which God has established for them. It's something that every Christian needs to come to realize, and it can only be done through Bible study, is what is my place in society? Remember when we studied about the fallen angels who broke the rules in Genesis chapter 6, it was because they had left their place. They left their place that God had given to them, and then they were having relations with the human woman. We see that story or the account mentioned in Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And it says specifically, there's a Greek word topos, which means place, that the angels left their place. And see, like, women have a place in the marriage. Just because they're under the authority of the husband does not mean they cannot be happy, though. But what they have to accept, when people get married, usually everybody's happy and, you know, they love each other. But they have to accept that this husband, this man that they're marrying, has a sin nature and he's no damn good. He's not a good man. And he's going to make bad decisions. You know, because he is a sinner and he's living in the devil's world. But the woman will have to realize that her happiness does not depend on the husband. The happiness depends on her relationship with the Lord. Marriages do break down because the husband and the wife, they're not happy. That's really why marriages break down. They're not happy. They're expecting too much from each other. And what they need to understand is that they are both sinners. And marriage as an establishment is a perfect organization, but the people in the marriage are not perfect. You see, they're both sinners. Everybody in a marriage is a sinner, right? The marriage organization is established by God. That's a perfect it's a perfect system. But the problem is you have imperfect people, and they're in this marriage, and they think that marriage should be perfect, but that's not the truth. It's the same thing for when they have children. Parents are not perfect either, and children should never expect their parents to be perfect. But children are still expected, and in fact commanded by God, that they have to obey their parents, just like we're expected to obey the government. And government systems can be very evil, actually. And all of the people, from the person at the top, that could be the president or the prime minister or the king or whoever, all the way down to the people at the bottom of that government organization, they're all sinners. But you have to say to yourself, this is the devil's world, and these are the things that are going to test me. This is my test. How am I going to relate to these tests? Now, people will say, like, the government's not fair, and my husband's not fair, and my boss is not fair. Well, what do you expect? We're in the devil's world. And you can either get angry about it, or you can apply some doctrine. You know, we're commanded, don't get angry. You cannot be angry. But through the problem-solving devices, and we have 10 problem-solving devices, you can learn how to respond properly in those situations. Just looking at the slideshow again, so we had feminism, that's one example. Homosexuality and same-sex marriage, we've talked a lot about that. Pacifism, now pacifism is when you protest about military action. So pacifism really comes from the word peace, like you want peace in the world. You would have heard about the hippies and these people that protest the government when they're, for example, in America, they were fighting the Vietnam War. And the hippies were throwing flowers at the soldiers and saying, put down your guns and things like this. And that's a very nice idea because, you know, war is a very horrible thing. But the military establishment, this is also ordained by God. And God commanded Israel, for example, that they need to build a strong army. And God established military as part of a nation because he knew you would have evil nations which would want to attack other nations, and you need to be strong to defend yourself. On the way over to class today, we were talking about Nanjing and how the Japanese had basically killed 5 million people in Nanjing. Now, if the Chinese had a strong army at that time and a strong sense of nationalism and a unity in the country, you could have defended yourself and that Nanjing massacre would never happen. That really wasn't a result of pacifism, but pacifists will try to destroy a military. They say, we don't need an army, we can all just be at peace. Jesus Christ said, there will always be wars and there will always be rumors of war until I come back. Some people might think, well, Jesus is all about love, and Jesus said we have to love each other, so we don't need armies. Well, actually, Jesus said the opposite. So that's just another example of liberalism. See, liberalism means free ideas of thinking. It's all part of that same system. Another one we had here is the anti-smacking policies. This comes back to the family again, where the people have said you should not spank your children. That's evil. They would say that's evil. To spank your children. Now, how can you hit your children? Well, actually, when I was growing up, we were always spanked, and it made us more obedient, and that's the whole idea of being spanked. Spanking your children is a biblical concept that's commanded in Scripture. It has to be done in a proper way, of course. I heard you just say, da heise, right? But it's not, you're not really hitting them. Spanking is it's a proper way of doing it, where you sit the child down and you say, okay, we have rules in the house, and if you don't obey the rules, I'm going to have to spank you, that kind of thing. You're not trying to traumatize the child. You don't want them injured in any way. But usually from a very young age, a small spank on the backside, it hurts for about 30 seconds. But that's enough. That's all you need. And again, the idea is to get them to obey you, because children don't understand concepts when they're very small. All they can understand is pain. And now the anti-smacking policies, like for example in New Zealand now it's illegal to spank your children, it actually came about because some parents were very abusive and they were abusing their children, like really putting them in hospital. And obviously that's totally wrong. But rather than the government looking at those as being special cases where the parents should actually be taken to court, they said, oh, we'll just stop everybody spanking their children. That'll make it easier to rule. So now what's happening is you're having a whole generation of children growing up and they're not being obedient to their parents. And when those children are not learning to be obedient to their parents, then they get to school. Now they're not obedient to the teachers either. And so it's causing big problems in the classrooms. And then these children, of course, they grow up a little bit more and then they get to work in a work environment. They're not going to be obedient to their boss either. You know, they've never been taught to be obedient. They haven't got into this habit, and it really is a habit that needs to be developed, of saying yes to the authorities. From a young age, their sin nature has been saying, hey, you can rebel. Just say no, say no. And because of that, that means that their whole life now, as they grow up, they have this constant attitude of rebellion against authorities.
Or
and it's joined together with satanic strategy. For example, the liberalist idea, just follow your heart. If whatever you want to do, if it feels right, just follow your heart. Okay, but the Bible says that the heart is very wicked above all else. The Bible says your heart, the ideas and the intents of the heart of man are wicked, are evil. If you follow your heart, obviously you're going to get involved in evil. You don't follow your heart, you follow the Bible, you follow Jesus, right? Okay, so anti-smacking policies, you know, they have long-term consequences for a person's life and for society. And then the last one under liberalism, there are other categories, so these are just some examples of liberalism, but the last one I have here is euthanasia. Now we call it euthanasia. Euthanasia, I'll just put it up on the board here. It's an interesting word, actually. You have the Greek word eu, which means good, then thanos means death. So it's actually saying good death, or a good way to die. And this is where people say, oh, you know, my grandmother's dying of cancer and she's been in pain for the last 2 years, and let's just give her an injection and put her to sleep. And that sounds like a nice idea, doesn't it? You know, to give her a nice, peaceful death. But the problem is that this goes against God's plan, because God is the one who decides the time of your birth and the time of your death. And suffering is a part of our lives. And obviously, if an old person is dying, it's not just suffering for that person, but for the whole family as well. And that's why people say, well, that, you know, we've run out of money and it's causing us so much emotional distress, and grandma, she wants to go anyway, so let's just stick a needle in her and let's just kill her. And then we can all be happy. But through that suffering, God can use that to bring people to Him. So let's say, you know, grandma might have to suffer for 2 years, but if she hears the gospel during that time, she can believe in the gospel message, and then she can go to heaven. So rather than dying, is actually almost like a very sacred thing. The time of your death belongs to God. But again, your governments, if they can organize or they can allow the time of your death, now the government is controlling your time of death. So the government has become God. That's another evil thing. Well, if the government can say who can die and who can't, the government, through euthanasia, allowing people to be killed, you see. Okay, see, that power, or that authority to decide when a person dies or not, that doesn't belong to people. That doesn't belong to governments. That's God's decision. Okay, the next category we have of evil is addiction. Okay, now addiction is always going to come out of the sin nature or from the emotions. There's an emotional attachment to something, drugs or social media, pornography, video games, things like that. Yeah, and actually there's a scientific basis for addiction in that your brain gets addicted to certain chemicals which are released in the bloodstream and released from your kidneys and from your liver whenever you get involved in these physical activities. Even bungee jumping, you know, bungee jumping, right? Bungee jumping gives you an adrenaline rush. Those adrenalines are chemicals, and they get to the brain, and the brain likes that. Even at football games, you know, people can get addicted to those football games because it gives them a rush. And we use that idiom in English for something giving you a rush, R-U-S-H. And we say it's like a high. And it can be even from chocolate or coffee. People get it from cigarettes or alcohol as well. It's a rush. And the word rush itself actually means like if you're hurrying to do something or something is pushed through. And that's what your body is doing. It's like pushing these chemicals like dopamine and adrenaline, and there's different pheromones and things being pushed into your brain. And your brain loves that. But when your brain doesn't get those chemicals, that's when you get these cravings. And you think, I need to have another cigarette, or I need to see that girl again, or I need to make some more money, whatever the attraction is. Okay, so these things, really, it's from your sin nature and from your emotional patterns, which is those drugs inside your body. But you're expected to use your volition, to use your mentality to control those urges. And that's where the evil comes in, where Satan, using his cosmic system, he'll say, oh, don't worry about it, just follow your heart. You want to do that? That's good. Now, some addictions aren't so bad for society. For example, soap operas or watching football on TV, you know, that's okay. But you get a lot of addictions and they can be dangerous to society. For example, you're talking about drugs or gambling or crime, pornography, things like that. It's dangerous. Some people get addicted to protesting. You know, when I was a student at university, we got involved in a very small protest. And it was very quiet, but we were out there with our signs and protesting the government. This was about paying student fees for university. And it was like we had a fun day out. It felt like we were doing something for society. We were getting free education, and we were protesting. Now we're going to have to pay. Yeah, but some people actually, you know, they get addicted to that protest thing. It becomes their lifestyle. And we're going to have an example of that after the break. Just to continue on, we looked at addiction now, and then the next category or next example of evil in the world is paganism. And that's the worshipping of the creation rather than the creator. And this comes out in Romans 1:25, and it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years where people have been worshipping creatures. I'll just take you actually to Romans 1:25. We're going to have a quick look at that now. Now, these are people that have rejected God. And when they reject God, then they're going to suck in the lie into their souls. Okay, so they changed the truth of God into a lie, and then they worshipped the, not the creator, but the creation. Now, you can read the verse there, I guess. There's another verse here, they're worshipping the creatures of the ground or something. Where is it? Okay, oh, sorry, in 1:23. So we're going to step back into verse 1:23. See, they changed the glory of the incorruptible, which means the unchanging God, into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. We see this in the Buddhist temples in Thailand a lot, where they have these statues of big animals all around these temples. One of the most prominent of the animals is the lion. They have the statues of the lion that will sing in these temples at the temple entrances. See, the lion is the king of the four-footed animals. So that's just what Paul is mentioning here in verse 23. So it's 4 feet, right? And the lion is the king of the animals. And then the creeping things in these temples, they have these big serpents made up and long, sort of coming down the stairs and down the hills going up to these temples. Naga, yeah, N-A-G-A, they might call it in English. He's like the king of the snakes. Usually you have the stairs going up to the temple,
right.
And on both sides of the top of the stairs you have this long, long snake.
It's a concrete.
He's made from concrete.
That's not dragon? In Chinese we call dragon, right?
Okay.
With legs, right?
No legs.
No legs. People will stick up their offerings to these things as well, and they stick flowers around them. It's like they're worshipping these creatures. Okay, and nowadays with the environmental movement, people are worshipping the earth. And that goes back to the worship of Mother Earth, which has been going on for thousands of years. Just to continue here, this girl here and millions of others like her, they've been propagandized. They think what they're doing is a very noble cause, but they don't know the truth. But it's not just her. I saw this in a KFC here. Now down the bottom, I'm surprised they didn't have it in Chinese, but it says,
为了要保护我们的地球,
if you want the planet to be saved, you have to not use plastic straws anymore.
Huh.
Doesn't that just sound so stupid that you can save this planet by not using a plastic straw? I grew up using plastic straws, and now they try to make me use a paper straw. It's ridiculous. Now, I can accept that if you throw your plastic straw into the sea and then the turtles eat that, that's not good. So you have to work out how to throw them away properly, of course. But to think that the planet's going to be destroyed if we don't stop using plastic straws, that's propaganda. That's false propaganda. You know, there's a lot of promotions. We have to save the planet. Now, remember, evil is anything that goes against the Bible. That's evil. If it goes against the Bible, it's evil. See, slide number 18 here, we have the future of the planet is in our hands, which really means that man is controlling the destiny of planet Earth. Okay, but what does 2 Peter 3:10 say? This is looking at the future of planet Earth. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Is it the translation not good? Okay, now the day of the Lord is a term used in the Bible. It's a phrase which can relate to many different days of the Lord, actually. There's different kinds of days. See, the day of the Lord can mean the day of the rapture. It can mean the day when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, or like here, it means the end of the earth. The day of the Lord really means an important day in what the Lord is doing, I guess. But this is talking about the day where the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise and the elements, that means the elements in the earth, will melt with fervent heat, like a huge nuclear explosion. It's talking about the end of the universe, the destruction of the universe. And the earth and the works in it will be burned up. This is the real global warming. See, God is going to keep this earth habitable. It means we can live on this earth, and all we need is 1,007 years plus however many days up to the rapture, because that's all we need. See, once the rapture occurs, which could be today or tomorrow, we have 1,007 more years. That's all we need the earth for. And the world is going to be destroyed. Okay, so we don't have to worry about global warming because the Lord is taking care of it. Now, I did see there was a survey done asking Americans what they thought about the environment. And I think about 30% said that the environment of the earth would become unlivable within about 30 years, that we could no longer live on the earth, or that it would become very difficult for man to live on the planet, something like that. Yeah, we don't have to worry about global warming, but many people do. Now, what Satan does is he uses these, you know, there's all kinds of science, and people say, well, you know, the temperatures in the world are rising and the carbon's rising. A lot of that is from natural activity. Depending on which science you go to, some people have proven that the world temperatures have been going up and down for thousands of years. But the fact is, you know, Satan likes to promote fear in the world, because when people are afraid, who are they going to turn to? Well, they'll go to the person with the most power, the most authority, and that's going to be the government. And now what governments are doing are destroying people's freedom by making taxes on carbon and taxes on even the farmers in New Zealand. The fart tax, I mentioned about this. Because animals, farms, like there's a lot of methane and a lot of gases caused from animals. And so the government's saying, we have to tax this. Now they have what they call a carbon tax, right? This whole fear of the world being destroyed means that now the governments can have more and more power. And Satan, that's what Satan's idea is, to give the power into the hands of the government.
由于人...
And then at the same time, he's trying to destroy those national boundaries. Now, I didn't make this. This is what I found on the internet when I was just looking around for different things. But this is a true statement. Whoever made this actually is making a true statement that the United Nations is an illegally established terror. He says terrorist. I wouldn't say quite terrorist, but it's an organization operating under the guise of humanitarian aid. Down the bottom, their mission, this of the UN, is to destroy sovereign nations, to build a one-world totalitarian government. Now, this is a true statement down the bottom here. Totalitarian means with a lot of control. Okay, and that takes us back to, remember, Genesis chapter 10, the people building the Tower of Babel. This is like the first UN, people coming together. Okay, now I've run out of time, but I'll just give you some verses to look at for your homework. Okay, and this is regarding how God has established the borders of nations and how he separates people into countries. Okay, so you have Acts 17:26, Deuteronomy 32:8, and then we have the subject is mentioned as the whore of Babylon, the prostitute of Babylon, because Babylon represents satanic power in the world, his power.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can find this in Revelation chapter 14, and then chapter 16 is mentioned, and then in Revelation 17 verse 5, so 14, 16, and then chapter 17 verse 5. 17:5. Okay, so you can look at those verses. They should give you an idea of how it's very important to maintain national sovereignty, national borders. That's all we have time for, so we'll stop. Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the lesson today. We give thanks for the time and the spiritual resources that you've given so we can understand these things. And also for the freedom that we have to be able to not just teach, but to learn these things as well. We pray for our government leaders that they can make wise decisions in helping to maintain our freedoms, and that the Holy Spirit will also continue to remind us of our position in the world and the role that we have to play, that we not be deceived by Satan and his strategy of evil, that through studies of doctrine that we can understand the truth and then fulfill your plan in our lives. So we give thanks for these things in Christ's name. Amen.